thankful. In your Bibles tonight, the book of 2 Timothy. Lately on Sunday night, I've been asking the Lord to just give me messages that will encourage us to do the right thing. We've been tying knots and a number of things of the sort. And I want to share with you something from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. And this is Paul's last letter. He writes this just before he dies. And he's sending very important things to his son in the faith, Timothy. You can tell a lot about somebody by their last words and their last request. And when life is put into perspective and you've only got a few more words to spend, we pay and should and can pay closer attention. And as we come to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul has a burden that both Timothy and anybody that reads this letter would be a vessel of honor, a vessel that's usable for the glory of God, something that will accomplish the will and work of God. And he says a few things I hope will be a help to you if you'll look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 19. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Look what the Bible says in verse number 21. Verse 20 gives us an example of some vessels are to honor and some vessels are to dishonor. And in verse 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself of these things," we'll talk about that a little bit in more depth here in a minute, purging ourselves of sinfulness. The Bible says, "He shall be a vessel unto honor." I don't know about you, but I want a life that is usable and honorable to the Lord. The Bible says he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. That word sanctified is very important. Don't let it confuse you. It's very simple. It literally means set apart. And I'm so thankful to know that I and you and all of us can be set apart for the work of the Lord. God in his heart has set us apart for the work of the Lord. If we allow him to fulfill his work in our life or not really depends on whether or not we'll be submissive to him. We're sanctified, a vessel that's set apart for the master's use, a vessel to honor, sanctified, and meet. Do you see that word meet? It's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. The word meet means suitable. Suitable. And you know, it's hard to believe that we could be suitable vessels for the Lord. But God has chosen to use us. He wants to use you. I've never considered myself a suitable servant of the Lord, vessel of the Lord, but God makes us suitable, meet, sanctified, set apart, meet, suitable for the master's use, and prepared. And prepared for what? Unto every good work. I don't know about you, but with the Lord's help, I'd like to be a vessel of honor. We should make it our earnest desire to be something, someone that God can use for his glory. Someone that God can use to see the lost come to Christ. Someone that God can use to help our wives, to help our children, to help our spouses. Someone God can use to bring light to dark spots all through our community. We should want with our heart and our lives be used by God. We should want to be used by God. I pray that God will spark a fire in our hearts that says, I don't want to serve myself. I want to see God use me to do something that matters beyond life and for eternity. I love to see patriotism boil in the hearts of young people. I love to see courage fire up inside the heart of young men. I like to see determination. I like to see the spirit of commitment. And I pray God will give us, His people, this church, this heart that says, I want God to use me. I want to be usable. I want to be suitable for His service. And I want God to use me to change this world. I'm so thankful I can tell you, on the authority of God's word, God can and will use you to change the course of the world and change the lives of men and women and boys and girls if you'll determine to let Him. I'll just have you know that the devil is fighting all of us. He doesn't like it when Christians stand up for Jesus. He doesn't like it when folks get a gut full of fire and a heart full of fire to serve God. He doesn't like it, and He sends things along to discourage us and to tempt us and to distract us. The Apostle Paul, understanding all of these potential issues and identifying a young man with tons of potential, Timothy, he says, Timothy, God wants to use you. He wants you to be a vessel of honor. God wants to set you apart. God wants to make you effective. God wants to use you in a mighty way. And He gives warning. It leads us to our message. Tonight's message is titled this. It's very simple. Flee, follow, and avoid. There's all kinds of action words in this chapter of the Bible. These three are close together and make up what I believe the Lord would have me share with you tonight. Flee, follow, and avoid. If we're going to be vessels of honor, these three words are very important. Whether you're a teenager, a child, or an adult, young or old, flee, follow, and avoid are three words that are very important if we're going to be vessels of honor, vessels usable for the glory of God. Flee, follow, and avoid. Look what the Bible says in verse number 22. Back up to verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Let's begin in verse 22 with our first point, flee. You can imagine what the three points are, right? Flee, follow, and avoid. Let's consider this number one, flee. If we're going to be usable for God and His glory, there's something we're going to have to develop in our hearts and in our lives. It is flee, run. Some people have this mentality, they're not going to run from anything. I'm not going to run from a fight. I'm not going to run from this. Well, there are certain things we should not run from, but sin is something we should always run from as fast as we possibly can. We should not only have a flight response to sin. If we don't have it strong enough, we should develop it. We should run from sin. Flee. Look what the Bible says in verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. Now, what do we need to do if we're going to be vessels of honor? We need to flee youthful lust. I like this phrase, youthful lust. The word lust, we normally put it in a connotation with sexual things, but the word lust is literally a desire. It's a desire that's out of control. And the Bible says we're to flee youthful lust. We're to flee them. We're to flee lust, desires that are not right. Some lusts are inherently sinful. Other lust desires are not necessarily sinful, but they can become sinful because we put them in the wrong order. So the Bible says we're to flee youthful lust. The word youthful, immature. Immature. We're to flee immature lust. Some folks say, well, I guess he's preaching to the teenagers tonight. The truth of the matter is, at every stage and age of life, there's a temptation to be immature in the things that we pursue. They change with the course of life, and the temptations that we had at this age are not the same that we have at that age, and we understand. But the truth of the matter is, the devil loves to play on your emotions, and the devil loves to find your weak spots, and he loves to exploit your immaturity. We're to flee also youthful lusts. Have you ever heard somebody complaining about this or that or whatever, and they're not in middle school, but you think to yourself, this sounds like middle school. Sorry, all you middle schoolers. How many of you have ever spent any time with adults who major on middle school drama? This little thing and that little thing and the he saids and she saids and they looked at me funny, they said something. We're to flee from that. The Bible says flee youthful lusts. We're to flee distractions. We're to flee things that we know are wrong. Flee. Run from them. We meet up with a number of Bible characters that did not flee, and it cost them greatly. How about David and Bathsheba? Remember that story? David was supposed to be leading his men in a military campaign. But instead of being where he ought to be as the leader of the nation of Israel, he decides to take it easy for a day or two and negates his responsibilities and hangs out of the house. And an idle mind is the devil's playground. He spots Bathsheba bathing on a rooftop. His heart is filled with youthful lust. And instead of running, closing the shades and saying, I wish I hadn't seen that, I should not pursue this, what did he do? He went and found out who she was. And before you know it, Bathsheba's in the king's house, and the next thing you know, Bathsheba's sending word to David that, hey, listen, king, we are going to have a baby. You see, David could have avoided not only the sinful behavior had he fled and ran for his life, he could have avoided lying, cheating, stealing, and murder, and the consequences of his sin falling on his house for generations to follow. But instead, he did not flee. There's David and Bathsheba. How about Solomon? Boy, Solomon, he started strong, didn't he? Boy, God bless Solomon. Solomon, God said, Solomon, I'll give you whatever you want. And Solomon thought for a moment. He said, I'll tell you what I want. I want wisdom. Man, he aimed high and got it. But it wasn't long until Solomon, in his curiosity, Solomon in his lust, Solomon in his youthful lust, instead of running for his life, pursuing after righteousness and righteous behavior, it wasn't long until Solomon was pursuing wealth, the neglect of God, building a kingdom with no regard to God. 1,000 wives, concubines, religion that was devoid of God. Oh my, Solomon made such a mess. Solomon made such a mess. So much of Solomon's writing is writing about his regrets. He writes the book of Ecclesiastes, and the theme of the whole book is everything under the sun is vanity and vexatious spirit. He says, I've experienced it all, and it's all vain, and it leaves you empty. Can you imagine that being your life story? The man who owned the and ruled the greatest kingdom ever. And the Apostle Paul, in the leadership of the Spirit of God, says, Timothy, I want to help you. I want to help you to be a vessel that's honorable. I want to help you to be someone that is usable. Timothy, flee. Flee youthful lusts. Here's some positive examples. What about Daniel? You know what Daniel did? Daniel had every opportunity. He'd left mom and dad and nation and all accountability behind. But he knew that he would live constantly in the presence of God. And when he came to wicked Nebuchadnezzar, he was commanded to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. What did Daniel do? The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He said, look, I'm going to stand on my principles even if it costs me my life. You know what it did? It did not cost him his life. As a matter of fact, it gave him purpose for his whole life. And the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. What a great example. May God help us to have that kind of spirit that says, you know what? I'm not going to sin against my Creator and my Savior. I will flee. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would not bow. Joseph, you remember Joseph? Oh, I love the story of Joseph. What happened to Joseph? Joseph had had a run of, I want to say a run of bad luck, but I don't believe in luck. Joseph had a rough time. I mean, Joseph was this kid that he had a glow in his eye. He loved the Lord. He loved his family, and God was moving in his heart and his life. As just a young man, his father saw it and gave him a coat of many colors. His brothers hated it, and Joseph had a rough run of things. Joseph's brothers were so full of envy of Joseph that they sold him. They sold him to a group of gypsies that were traveling across the desert going to Egypt. Joseph had been cast into a well, drawn out and sold, treated like a slave, and literally was purchased by a man named Potiphar, a leader in Egypt, purchased to just be a housekeeper. And God showed him favor in Potiphar's eyes. And before you know it, Joseph, who'd had a rough run of things, was running all of Potiphar's affairs. So much so that he had everything. He had control of everything that Potiphar had except for Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife was a piece of trash. I'm pretty sure that's what the Bible said. But daily, Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph to lie with her. Day after day, he avoided until finally one day, he got close enough. She got close enough. She grabbed his coat. And Joseph, having understanding of what men, real men, do in light of temptation, what real men do when faced with sin, what real men do when everything's at stake, you know what a real man does? He runs for his life. What'd she do? She grabbed hold of his coat. What'd he do? He left his coat and kept his character. A real man says, no way, man. I'm not going to be near the temptation that the devil intends to destroy me with. He says, I'm going to flee. Joseph fled. Folks, I want you to know, if we're going to be vessels of honor, flee needs to be a principle that's ingrained in our hearts. It's not cowardly to run for your life. It takes great courage to run against the grain and away from the culture. It takes great courage to say no to sin, yes to God. Flee. I know Joseph would testify today that I'm really glad that I fled. You see, it was Joseph fleeing. Now, it cost him for a while. You remember what happened to Joseph? It was Joseph fleeing that sent him to prison for another stint. But it was Joseph's fleeing and being sent to prison that set the stage for Joseph to be called out of that dungeon into the presence of Pharaoh and become the second in command in the nation of Egypt and save his entire family that would soon become the nation of Israel. I'm just telling you that if you want to be used by God, we need to learn to flee. We need to learn to flee with the remote control at the television. We need to learn to flee with our phones. We need to learn to flee on the internet. We need to run from sin because the devil wants to render you ineffective, useless, and ruin your life. And God says, flee. Real men run from sin. Real men know that they are not able to withstand the temptation. Real men run from sin. Flee. God wants us to flee from youthful lust. Flee. Number two, follow. Look what the Bible says in verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow. What do we mean? What's that mean, follow? That means that's something we're going to pay attention to. Follow is a word we use a lot now. Who do you follow on Instagram? Who do you follow on Facebook? I follow David Hodges, and so I always know when they're getting ready to start church at Tabernacle. I get a notice on my phone, on my watch, about the time we start church every day. Tabernacle Baptist Church is live, and I'm thankful for that. It reminds me to pray for him, Patty and the girls. Who do you follow? Now, the Bible says when we follow something, that means we're interested in them. It means we pay attention to them. It means we make it a point to learn of it, to know it, adhere to it. And so the Bible says that we should follow. Follow what? Righteousness. Don't let the word righteous become one of those words that you say and don't pay attention and remember what it means. Righteousness just simply means what is right. What are we to follow? We're to run from sin, but we're to follow after. We're to chase after righteousness. We're to try our best to know what is right. When the Bible says follow righteousness, that's a reminder that you don't know everything yet. None of us. The moment you think that you know everything there is to know about life and the matters of life, is the moment that you begin to stop following after righteousness and begin to follow towards sin. You can't help it. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And it is perfectly right and absolutely necessary that we never quit following after righteousness. It doesn't matter how long you've been teaching Sunday school. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. It doesn't matter how long you've been preaching. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how long you've been a member of the church. It doesn't matter how long. It must be our life's endeavor to follow after righteousness, to find out and be reminded from God what is right. What is right? Follow righteousness. Follow faith. I like the word faith. I'm reminded of the testimony from the Bible. I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Faith is something we must follow. Our faith is like we are. It has highs and lows. But our faith needs to be something that we follow after. We need to be constantly trusting in the Lord. Faith comes from God. Faith is something we get from God, and God will increase our faith as we trust Him and try Him. What are you to follow after? Faith. Are you tempted to be afraid? Follow after faith. Are you tempted to worry? Follow after faith. Are you tempted to take matters into your own hands? Follow after faith. Are you tempted to react to life's circumstances in sin? Follow after faith. Do you know why we act out and do rotten things when we're angry and afraid? It's because we do not trust God to do things the right way. Some people have this notion that I'm going to have to clean up this mess. I know that I can trust God about certain things, but I'm going to have to clean this up. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'll say, if you know something, it is always wrong to do wrong. And you never get what's right by doing what's wrong. We have this foolish notion sometimes. I'm mad and I'm taking care of this. It's time for somebody to step up to the plate and do this. Most of the time, that is rotten and sinful. What are we to follow? We're to follow righteousness, faith, charity. Follow. We should be yearning to know more about charity. The word charity is love. Follow after love. May God give us the spirit of love. When's the last time you read the love chapter in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 13, right? Oh, it's sweet. When you see what love is, oh, it's so helpful. We're to follow after love. Let me ask you something. The way you've been acting lately, is it the product of following after righteousness, following after faith, following after love, goodwill, benevolence, brotherly love? What are we to follow? We're to follow after love. It should be our great desire. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. How many of you make it a practice to try to keep the peace, make peace, be peaceful? God wants us to. God wants us to follow. Flee also youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. What are we to do? Flee youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Avoid foolish questions that gender strife. Avoid. What are we to avoid? Fleeing and avoiding are very similar. But the Bible gives us some specific things we are to avoid. We're to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. We're to avoid saying things that cause trouble. We're to avoid stirring up subjects that make a mess. Sometimes we get in our crawl something that we want to say, some point we want to make. And it's pointless. It's pointless to bring that up. It's pointless to ask that question. It's pointless to stir that pot. How many of you have ever known a pot stirrer? Would you raise your hand? I won't ask you to raise your hand if you are a pot stirrer. But if you are, and maybe you're not typically a pot stirrer, but there are certain things you can't help but stir the pot. Pot stirrers are full of pride. And God's called us to avoid those things because they do gender strife. They bring up strife. They produce strife. Flee. Avoid. They do gender strife. Look at the Bible says, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Look, if you have this spirit, it's a striker of a spirit. It's this I want to fight spirit. Fussy. Contentious. That didn't come from the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's a surefire way to make yourself an ineffective vessel. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. You know why we're not gentle sometimes? Because we're afraid. We're afraid if we're gentle, we'll be taken advantage of. If you are afraid to be taken advantage of, your real sin is faithlessness and pride. God's promised that if you'll be gentle, if you'll be meek, if you'll determine not to strive, if you'll avoid these questions that gender strives, God has promised you that if you'll just keep the peace, if you'll be gentle and not strive. He says, I promise you, I'll take care of your problem. I'll help you. I'll give you the peace that you need. I'll meet your need. He says, avoid it. Avoid questions that gender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, verse 24, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Apt to teach and patient. Do you know what's sad? God wants to use us as teachers, all of us. God wants to use us as teachers. But when we get sidetracked with our flesh, our ability to teach and to help people, it just goes away. You see, if we get to the place where we fail to flee from sin, we fail to follow the Lord, we fail to avoid these strives, our opportunity to teach goes away. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. What is God wanting you to do? Why all this humility? Why all this trusting? Why all this fleeing, following, and avoiding? Why? Because God wants to use you. God wants to use you to help other people. God wants you to be a vessel unto honor, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. What does God want to do? He wants to use your life. He wants to use your life. Aren't you glad God wants to use your life? I am. Amen. He wants to make you a vessel unto honor. And if we're going to be vessels unto honor, there's three very simple things we need to pay close attention to. Flee, follow, and avoid. Flee, follow, and avoid. I pray God will use his word to convict you of sin. I pray God will use his word to encourage you to do the right thing and motivate you to live for him. I pray God will use our lives. How many of you think it'd be a great thing? You don't need to raise your hand. How many of you think it'd be a great thing if God could use your life to change the lives of other people? I do. How many of you think, I'm thinking as a father and a husband, how many of you think, and you want God to use you in your wife's life, in your children's life? I'm so motivated by that, those things. It's literally the most important thing in my world. There's nothing more important. And I know that the devil wants me to blow it. God's given me some instructions, something I can just hold on to, flee, follow, and avoid. I want God to use my life. I pray God will motivate us all. Say, Lord, make me a vessel usable for your glory. Protect me from sin. Fill me with your spirit. Give me wisdom to avoid the traps that the devil set before us. Help me to flee, follow, and avoid.